Welcome to the teaching ministry of pastor, teacher, and healing evangelist, Billy Burke. This is part four of the four-part series titled, Preparing for Visitation. Now, here's Pastor Billy.
Luke chapter 24, starting with verse number 13. And behold, two of them, you can read with me if you want to. And behold, two of them went the same day to a village called Emmaus, which was from Jerusalem about 80 furlongs. And they talked together of all these things which had happened. And it came to pass that while they communed together and reasoned, Jesus himself drew near and went with them. But their eyes were holden that they should not know him. And he said unto them, What manner of communications are these that you have of one another? Why are he? So he's eavesdropping. He shows up into the middle like he does us. In the middle of their conversation, and he's wanting to know the way you're talking, and you're so sad. So evidently they were being really, you know, they were down here just complaining to each other about why things ain't going right, and where's God, and how's come, and they've been sowing seed, and where's their healing, and, you know, they laid their son on the altar, and no ram showed up for them, you know, that kind of thing. And one of them, whose name was Cleophas, answering, said unto him,
Thou art thou only a stranger in Jerusalem,
and hast not known the things which are come to pass in these days. He said unto them, What things? Now here's the Lord, what things? Now, interesting, the Lord would play this role. He's playing a role here. What things? He mean he knew. Didn't you hear what all the things that have happened? Like what?
Yeah.
Oh, how he loves to see what's in us.
Yeah.
Oh, how he loves to see what's in us. Not that he sees, so that you would see what's in you. And they said unto him, Concerning Jesus of Nazareth, which was a prophet. And have crucified him. But we trusted that it had been he which should have redeemed Israel.
And beside all this, today is the third day since these things were done. Yet there is a woman also of our company, and is astonished, which were early in the sepulchre.
And when they found not his body, they came saying, Found it even so as the women had said, but him they saw not. Then he said unto them, O fools and slow of heart to believe all that. Now, he didn't say they didn't believe. He was upset that they were slow to believe. Called them fools. God don't mind you taking the time to be convinced or persuaded, but he don't want you taking too much time. Slow to believe. Slow to believe that Halloween's bad for you. Slow to believe that X-rated movies isn't profitable. Slow to believe that it's his will to prosper you beyond your wildest imagination. Slow to believe that your kids are going to be unrecognizably redeemed.
Absolutely.
I thought you'd say that.
Yeah.
So just see here the impact. Oh, fools, slow. The Lord don't like slow. Because slow is connected to all kind of words that we could say here tonight. And we don't want to get into word association with the word slow. Ought not Christ to have suffered these things and
enter into his glory?
And beginning at the beginning, Moses
and all the prophets, he expounded unto them in all the scriptures the things concerning them.
And they drew nigh unto the village. And he, now here's the key part here, verse 28. They came to a fork in the road, basically. He made as though he would have gone further. So they left Emmaus, They left where they were. They're coming to Emmaus. They're going down the road, and they're talking. They're just fellowshipping the whole way down here. Now, we know later, we don't know it now, but we know later that the whole time they were walking, their hearts were on fire. There was a burning going on in their hearts. It isn't recorded right here. It's recorded a little bit later. I want you to see that, then we'll put it in sequence tonight, because it's really, there's just a hidden truth here that I think is very powerful for all of us. So look here, it says, he made as though he would have gone further. That means when they got to the fork in the road, Jesus kept walking the other way. He was splitting company from them. And he was splitting company from them because he was really going to go the other way. These two broke off and they went another direction. It's very important you see. They walked together and then they split company. And then it says in verse 29, but they constrained him. But they constrained him. Abide with us, for it is toward evening. Wonder why they want him to, wonder what they're so, what's their motive for following this stranger and they're talking about it. And there's something hidden here that we don't see yet. Why do they want to constrain him or restrain him? Why do they want to say, hey, where are you going? Hey, come on. Hey, hang with us a while. What is it that made them want to do that? Abide with us, for it is toward evening, and the day is far spent. And he went in to tarry with them. And when God's wanted, when he knows you really want him, and he went and tarried. And it came to pass, as he sat at meat with them, he took the bread, he blessed it, and he broke it, and he gave it to them, and their eyes were opened, and they knew him, and he vanished. I love it. Now, people, it don't get any better than this. Come and stay with us. Come and stay with us. And, it didn't take long. That's what he wanted. He didn't contend. So he goes, they sat down, they broke bread. When they began to do communion, breaking that bread, when they began to do that supper, that food, that nourishing, their eyes were opened and they knew him. Watch this. He's gone right in front. Man, that could make your day, huh? And they said one to another, watch this now. Here's where we know what was happening the whole time. Did not our heart burn within us while he talked with us by the way? Not at the fire whenever they were eating, but all the way along, they're trying to make sense out of what they just seen. They just saw a man disappear in front of them. I don't mean, where'd John go? He's in the mall somewhere. He just disappeared. No, I mean sitting right in front of you. Watch. Gone. So while they're saying that, here's what they said one to another. Did not our hearts burn while he talked with us along the way and while he opened to us the scriptures? And they rose up the same hour and returned to Jerusalem and found the 11 gathered together and them that were with them, saying, the Lord is risen indeed and has appeared to Simon. And they told what things were done in the way and how he was known of them in the breaking of the bread. But there wouldn't have been any breaking of bread. There wouldn't have been no breaking of bread. There wouldn't have been no vanishing had they not said, hey, you got to stay. And they wouldn't have said, hey, you got to stay, had there not been some burning stuff going on in their heart that they was made them think, man, what in the heaven is going on here? Yes. They recognized the burning. They recognized what triggered this whole event to go from a burning heart, from a normal conversation, a Holy Ghost manifestation. See, God knows you and I, there's a lot of scriptures in here about stir yourself up and all that you can do for yourself. But, God's not really picky. He'll take us any way he can get us. If I stir myself up, he'll take me. But if I don't want to stir myself up, but some preacher does, he'll take me anyhow. He'd rather take me by me getting myself excited. Yeah. But, he'll take me excited any way that he can get me. And what these men recognized when they were, what set this whole thing off, they recognized this unusual visitation that they were having. Because they could never make themselves burn. They could never make themselves feel what they were feeling. So they knew that it was outside their normal. That's big right there. Just like you know the noises in your house. You know all the noises that your house makes. But if there's an unusual noise, you go, what's that? And you, because you know your refrigerator, or if you have what, you know, if you have an air conditioner, or you have whatever you have there, or a dog or a cat or a fish tank, you know, you learn to recognize the noises in your own house. You learn to recognize as your own body.
Yes.
You get a pain, but you know that's nothing. You learn to recognize the familiarity of your own territory. And when you're in church meetings a lot and you're in the anointing a lot, sometimes the unusual becomes too usual. And you don't realize that the place that takes you somewhere where you've never been is already taking place. But you don't see it. You're waiting for something else. They recognize this burning was like, wow, I can't make myself do that. But while he talked along the way, come on, say along the way. So the whole time they're talking, they're having this sensation, but they're not making any mention of it to him, but they're very aware of it. And they're very aware that it's different. It was that different feeling outside normal is what caused them to get hungry for more. Hungry for more is what qualifies you for visitation.
Amen.
Hungry for more. Hungry for more. It was their hungry for more that was ignited by the burning. They didn't know what they were getting into, and you never do. You know, when God says, come with me, you know, and the disciples said, where do you live? He said, come and see. And they said, oh my, come and see. I wonder where he lives. They never knew they were getting into something that deep. Come on, somebody. Because he was showing them, I live wherever I am. Wherever I am, I live. They were looking for a house on a block, you know, with a mailbox. I just go find out where he lives. This guy lives everywhere. This guy, everywhere this guy goes, he lives. He says, well, he lives here. He says he lives here. They were really in for a very unusual journey. See, and that's exactly, God wants to take you beyond your description of where you think he's trying to take you.
Hallelujah.
So here we have it. We have, say, the burning.
The burning.
That they didn't start.
They didn't pray for.
Fast for. Come on, seek him for. Come on, the burning they got on a free fly. Just for free. Just a freebie. Just in church, just in a meeting, just hearing a CD, just watching something, just fellowshipping, just something you're not really seeking. I mean, if you add seeking to this, then you take it to a whole other dimension. But tonight I thought we could be really gracious here and talk about us that aren't really seeking, but yet we want something, but we're not really seeking it. I'm here tonight telling you, he's already giving you the tools to get it, even though we're not seeking. He wants you to experience the cream of the crop, even though he don't see you in the top 10 seekers. He don't see you in the top 1 million. Come on, somebody. He don't quit. He's determined to blow your mind. He's determined to, you know, to make you just amazed and overwhelmed and astonished at who he is.
Amen.
He knows the potential is on the inside of you. If you can just get a peek behind the curtain, you'll never go back to normal.
Amen.
You'll never be average again the rest of your life.
Yes.
Come on. So here's what it is. Come on, say it. All started with a burning heart. Come on, say a feeling.
Tangible anointing
that they didn't create.
It
just happened in the process. But they recognized it.
They
didn't treat it as normal.
It incited their hunger.
And they wanted more. They didn't know what more was going to cause. But they just said, hey, why don't you stay with us? See, sometimes we think we know what more means. We fill in the blank of more, and that's where we lose. He knows exactly what you, he knows your personality. He made you. He knows what he's assigning you to become. He knows the person he wants you to be. He knows he wants all of our experiences to be customized for the people that we're going to interface with.
Yes.
He knows what you have to see to communicate to your family. He knows what you have to experience to communicate to people at school or work. He knows that we all need different tools.
Yes.
When he made me, he said, man, where you're going to go, I've got to show you stuff. You have to hear stuff, see stuff on a regular basis. And the same with you for where he's assigning you.
Yes, that's right.
Because you have all kind of people that you're interfacing with that are going to be hard nuts to crack. Hard people to convince about his love, his salvation, his power, whatever, whatever, whatever. But because he wants to make you a personal recipient of tangible glory.
Mm-hmm.
But they could have left this party, this fellowship, with just a burning heart, and that's it. Like most of us do. Boy, I felt the presence that night. Doesn't go anywhere. Doesn't lead the deeper. Doesn't lead the supernatural. It ends with the burning. I had a dream, Pastor. I'll tell you what. I mean, Pastor, right? It was right there. I mean, I saw him. Saw who? Pastor. Wow. But it ends there. Doesn't take you anywhere. I went home, Pastor. I started praying. You know what? The anointing came in my room. I thought God himself, Pastor, you could cut it with a knife all over my room. What happened after that? I went to bed. Great, great burning doesn't take you anywhere. I promise you tonight, all of us, visitation has been started. Not because we've been seeking and after, but because he's hungry for a remnant of people. This could have ended whenever, what, they had a burning heart. Man, was that a good sermon. I'm telling you what, Pastor, that message you preached last week. Did you buy the CD? Oh, no. Did you listen to it twice? No, but I mean, it was good. In other words, they could have come to the fork in the road and the burning could have been, man, I'll tell you, man, did you feel that? I felt that. I mean, that guy was something else. Did you get his card? No. Did you find out where he is? Jesus could have walked with me. They could have walked on, and what they had was a phenomenal experience that didn't lead to anything deeper. That's where most of the church lives. See, because God doesn't give you a burning heart or a shaking or an amazing night in a meeting or I might have to drive me home. Well, they drive the person home because they had an amazing night in the Lord. I'm drunk in the Spirit. Where's it take you? You're back in Defeatville the next week. No joy, no. So, in other words, we're good on that experience. He's wanting us to constrain him. He's wanting us to say, thank you for that, but it's not enough. He's wanting what he gives you to really touch your more button. You know, I need more. There's something. But because we are experiencing so much in the time in which we're living, in meetings, on the internet, on TV, you know, in the restaurants, for God's sakes. There's some people that have more glory in a restaurant than half the churches do. Come on. Just praying out in the parking lot. You mind, you get a prophecy, a prayer, and your leg healed, standing in the parking lot. Some people don't get that in their church.
Right.
But it's getting to the point where we're experiencing so much that nothing is special anymore. And we don't recognize that some of what he's already doing in you is meant to take you beyond the meeting place. Not into another Bible study, not into another home meeting, where it's the small church meeting number 2 or number 3. But he's trying to get you to go deeper where you've never been before.
Amen.
He's trying to get a fire started in you that you say, wow, this is, man. How many times you ever go home from a meeting and you tell yourself, some of you have told me, we get emails all the time or phone calls. Man, I couldn't get to sleep till 4 in the morning. Pastor, I was like shaking half the night. You know what I say? Hallelujah. But then I'm saying, okay. If he showed you that, then he's saying, I got more than this.
Amen. Amen. That's right.
See, because where he wants to take you is down here to a place called communion and on into a place called the supernatural. See, he doesn't want the supernatural to replace him. Oh.
Yes, that's right.
See, most people would rather see an angel, or they want to have a dream, or most people want to have this theopanous, this spiritual theopanous, this supernatural happening. That's what the church is looking for. But God never gives us supernatural to replace his presence. So his presence in today's church is becoming so secondary. He's being replaced, and he don't like it. But the neat thing tonight is you and I have the power to what? Constrain him.
Amen.
Him. Who's him? His presence. His presence. The greatest and safest and most powerful place on planet Earth from here forward. It's something that can be experienced every day of your life and that can shelter you from all that crazy nonsense that's out there. Amen. You don't have to hide from it. You can have your own, you know, your own bulletproof, you know, world-proof system walking around. It's just called the presence.
Amen.
You don't have to worry about picking up a transfer because it's going to bounce off of you because of the presence. You can go to New York City and walk down, you know, 7th and Broadway, or go to L.A., 7th and Broadway, walk down there, walk through Central Park. Oh, I'm afraid of that. And it'll bounce off you because you got presence around you.
Hallelujah.
It's the safest place and the most powerful place. But that ain't going to happen because you have a burning heart, because you're having some good experiences, because God has figured out that Christians like experiences more than him. He wants the supernatural things to be in the right protocol in your life. But today, many leaders that know people want to see the supernatural so they can build a fast ministry, so they build people seeking the sign and the wonder, seeking the anointing and the power. And the people out there are out there moving in the power because God will honor his word, but they don't have any presence. Wow, I got healed. Well, it's easier to get healed out of the gifts or out of you know, your preaching, but you have no presence. So in essence, your experiences that you're already having that you didn't study for, all this stuff that's going on with you in your own home or when you come to a meeting here or you turned on something on TV or you were at a revival service and it was this, and Pastor, I was laying on the floor and I just saw swirls of, you know, Pastor, a dust fall on me, and Pastor, I saw a thing on the wall. Everything and anything that he lets you see. If you want an expanded version of that, if you want the supernatural to continue, you don't want to live your whole life, and the only supernatural event you had was 50 years ago. Well, 50 years ago, I'll tell you what, I saw, and then why is it not perpetual? Why isn't it ongoing? It's because you didn't let that burning take you into more, and that more was, I got to have what he has. This burning, I got to find out about this guy. He wants to be irreplaceable. And hey, I will be the first to say the anointing is strong. The anointing is addictive. The anointing atmosphere is amazing. And this is especially dangerous even after God begins to use you in a great way. And I went through all of that. I'm so much better today. Honest. Oh, it's honest. There's not one meeting I don't walk out of and go, amazing, amazing. You, amazing. Me, who, you, amazing. Because I walk into half my meetings, Lord, I'm tired. I'm so tired. I need some extra firepower tonight. I need. He just says to me, just be at peace, son. Just be at peace. Then what did I tell you? What did I tell you? I know, but don't, but. Come on, let's go. Let's go get him. And stuff begins to happen. But whenever you begin to realize, wow, it's him.
Yes.
No, I mean really him.
Yes,
really. And you seek him. So a burning heart, it can end there. Or it can go deeper to the meal, or to an eyes being opened. Wouldn't we love to have our eyes open to some things?
Yes. Amen.
So what was the burning heart all about? And here's the funny thing about the Lord. Watch this. He's walking away, and he knew. He knew what his words caused in them. He knew he rocked their world. He's just no man. They're on fire right about now. And he's just waiting to hear, are they going to summon me back? Are they going to be among the more group, or are they going to be among the satisfied group, or the group that didn't even recognize? What kind of these two guys, what are they? And they said, hey, why don't you, it's getting late. What an excuse. Yeah. It's getting late, and it's dark, and hey, come on, we got some food here. And inside you're thinking, we got to find out who this guy is. We're going And he didn't hesitate, and he won't with you. He goes over, eats, breaks, their eyes come unglued. They know who he is. It's you, meaning what? You're alive. You are alive. Oh my God. You, there is another realm. See, the first time you see a real angel, you'll go, huh? Or the first time you see a demon, a real demon in body form. Or the first time you see something you can't really explain. You're like, all of a sudden, you're like, phew. But he made sure that the vanishing point was at the end and not at the beginning. Now, there are some times, and we know that he's sovereign. And if he's after you enough, he could put the supernatural thing up here in the beginning and see if that takes you into seeking him. See, it's all about seeking him and his presence. How much of him do you feel, tangible feel? I thought we were to walk by faith. I never said we weren't. But you do have a soul, right?
Yes.
That's why you do half the things that you do is to feel. Half the things you do, or more, is to feel. That's why you watch what you watch and read what you read and go where you go. On some level, it's to get that soul stirred up so you can feel. Why do you like walking on the beach? Because you like the way it makes you
feel.
Why do some people like going to the mall? Because they like how it makes them
feel.
Why do you watch that TV program? You like the way it makes you
feel.
That music.
Feel.
Those clothes.
Feel.
It's just on and on and on. So we spend most of our lives nurturing our feelings because we like that. Well, there's a feeling that's not from this realm.
Yes. Amen.
And God wants us to begin to recognize that what you're feeling isn't normal. So you've got to learn to separate how the beach makes you and how the clothes make you and how going to certain vacation spot makes you or a restaurant makes you. That's all okay, but you have to distinguish what's that feeling you're feeling right now? That's not any of those.
That's right.
You know the difference hugging your daughter and hugging your wife. You know that daughter hug's different than the mother hug or the wife hug. Each one of those ignites a different feeling.
Right.
Amen?
Amen?
Or when you hug the family dog. Come on, somebody. That's a woo. And they all ignite a different feeling. And today, people aren't able to distinguish the anointing and where it wants to take you. So before I get into the real message of this evening, here's where most people live, the fork in the road. The burning is enough. They got slain. They felt something. I heard God say to me, you know, Pastor, when you were prophesying over me, I could hear the Spirit talking to me. Pastor, I'll tell you what, I heard God talk to me tonight about my son. Thank you, Jesus. And I'm happy. And you know, when I walk out half of my meetings, I'm thinking, Lord, please, you know, apprehend them. You know, some people you want to just put a bag over them, tie them up, you know. You know, and say, okay, now you are going directly into the presence of the Lord. You're not going to mess this up yet another time. But we don't have that kind of control. So the neat thing about this, the grace tonight in all of this, here's the grace. The grace in this, it's already taking place on the way, along the way. They talked about the things that happened along the way. Ugh. On the way to take your son to school, on the way to the mall, on the way to the hairdresser, on the way home from rush hour traffic, just reaching for the radio and shoom, man, there it is. And it's like, what do you do with that? How do you recognize that? Is it a fleeting, godly, Holy Ghost moment, or can you make more out of it? Do we have the power to pour Holy Ghost lighter fluid? Do we have the power to massage something and watch it increase? Yes. And take us maybe where we ourselves don't even know where we need to go. I mean, coming unto a meeting and being slain in the spirit is a wonderful experience. But you know, compared to where he wants to take you, that's so shallow. Compared to what he wants you to experience. You know, we're caught up, like if you think about our meetings, the worship part of it, the slaying power, getting a word, all of those areas. And yet, all he gives us that for is to get the motor running, to say, come on, just say more. Is this enough for you, or are you going to be really in my remnant, my radical remnant? Because I'm looking for some people that want more, because I'm going to take you into a place called communion, and I'm going to take you into a place called the supernatural, and you're going to see things that you have. Come on, somebody give him praise tonight. Here we go. Ready? I'm going to give you some verses. We're going to look at each one and talk about each one. Philippians chapter 3. Verse number 8, let's read it together. Yea, doubtless,
I count all things as loss for the excellency of the knowledge of Christ my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things, and do count them but done that I might win.
I'm glad you read that, because it's the wrong verse. Verse number 7. But what things were gain to me, those I counted loss for Christ. There has to be a value change. There has to be a value change in us. The things that used to be so important are no longer important. And now there's a new important thing. And there has to be a greater value for the presence of the Lord. When Jacob got into the presence and he began to wrestle the angel of the Lord, which was Jesus pre-incarnate, that was not a regular angel, that was the angel of the Lord. Anytime you go into the Old Testament and you see the phrase the angel, that was Jesus before he came down through Mary. Once Jacob got into the presence, he didn't want to leave it. He forgot about food. He forgot about Monday night football. He forgot about sleep. Who forgets about food or sleep or football? Come on, somebody help me here. The guy stayed up all night. Imagine not being kept, but you can't leave. We haven't felt that presence yet. And we have some good meetings. We have some wonderful presence. Not this. When the woman came whose daughter was being vexed by a devil, she's being insulted. A dog, you know, da-da, not sent to the... She's thinking, oh my God, I am not leaving here. I am not leaving here. Story after story. Story after story where people got into the presence, and didn't want to leave.
Right.
I mean, Legion, after he was set free, Legion says, I'm selling out. I got to be around you. No. You don't understand. You got to go home, be with your mother. Who cares about my mother? I got to be with you. But you have a little girl. Oh, forget about the little girl. You got pet rabbits. Kill the rabbits. You know, I got to go with you. I got to see that presence. Once these people, we miss that in the whole American church.
Yeah.
There has to be a value change. And you have to figure out how to go from the presence of the anointing through a man or a woman into the raw presence of the Lord. He'll use one to incite you to get to the other. When he sees you value his presence. Along the way, I promise you that you have moments, you've had them. We all do. He makes sure we do. And we keep what? We keep just coming to the fork in the road. We don't let his presence disrupt our journey. These men left his presence disrupt their daily journey. They weren't planning on sharing their food. They weren't planning on inviting him to dinner. They weren't planning on the burning in the heart. They weren't planning on any of that. They were planning on being negative all day. Come on, somebody. So there's got to be a unique willingness to let the Holy Ghost disrupt you once God begins to do something.
Yes.
That's his sign that what he's doing pulls rank and file over what you're planning.
Right.
If you're after a visitation like you've never had. I don't know if you are or not.
Amen.
But the value change is important. The things that used to be important. Now, that don't mean the things that used to be important don't become important at all. It just means that, wow, that's still kind of important, but this here kind of supersedes that now.
Right.
And that should be happening naturally in all of us, anyhow.
Amen.
There's something about whenever he knows that you love being in his presence. Because, see, he's not restricted to any building. He's not restricted to any group. He's not restricted to any geographical location. So whenever you enjoy being in his presence, it takes all the limits off of where you have church.
That's right.
Amen.
I mean, you could skip a Saturday night here and go down to Longboat Key, you know, and have visitation. You know, I'll be so jealous if you do that. But you come back and say, Pastor, we missed, but we went down to Longboat Key and just walked on the beach. And man, I'll tell you what, he was all over us and we was all over him. And, you know, and I'm going to say, well, you know. But inside, I'm going to be happy for you after I get over it a little bit. You need to be in church. Don't be going out there having fun and experimenting and getting deeper in God without any of us coming with you. But a lot of people who do come and have experiences here, it doesn't take them anywhere. Because the experience could be so rich and so powerful, but in their mind, that's the stopping point instead of the tipping point. If he did that in a church service, in a public facility, in a church building, within a constraint of time, and he worked in a constraint of time in the order of a service and made you feel heaven, what could he do outside of the constraint of that building and that order and that? So is he wondering why he isn't being summoned after everything he's done for us? Yeah. Because he's thinking, if you think that's all I have, if you think what you felt tonight, what you've been feeling for the past 3 years, if you think that's just what I've been giving you on my own. Man, if you dare to knock on my door, if you dare to come after me and ask me to stay over for a couple hours, my God, I hath not seen nor has ear heard, but the Spirit is about to reveal it. Woo! But value change. Come on, value change.
Value change.
It comes back to that Philippians 3:7, that value change. I love praise and worship at church. I love the meetings. Love this, love that. But man, I won't trade nothing for the presence.
Amen.
If I can go there and feel the presence and where I go to church, oh, that's just gravy. But boy, if I'm not feeling the presence, coming off the music, coming off the preaching, put a demand on. I got to have it.
Amen.
I got to have. Once I get in it, I want to stay in it. And that doesn't mean all night or late, but it means like, there you are. Oh, there you are.
Yes.
It's like getting in a jacuzzi. You know, your body's aching a little bit and you've been beating it up as I do, and you step down in that 104 degree water and you just go, ah, oh, I praise you. Then you sit down in it, and the whole time you're sitting down in it, but oh, you can just feel water pulsating. You can pulsating and opening up your arteries and blood flowing and relaxing, and you go, oh my, you just know what, I'm in the right place, and you don't want to move, you just lay there, and the bubbles begin to do the rest. That's what His presence is. If it isn't that for you, then we need to look at why it's not. Because it probably would tell me that your circumstances are overpowering and choking. You can't get to the presence. You can't push and penetrate. But there's got to be a value. See, if you don't change your value, what do you mean change your value? If you blow off your experiences. Remember this. Priorities outside. You can have great priorities and lousy values. You can do things on the outside. Priorities inside. Values inside. Priorities outside. When you get your priorities and your values together, that's when you have explosive capabilities. Value change. The way you value praise and worship. We're supposed to be singing so that we welcome Him into the room that night.
Yes.
Some people don't even sing. You know, and there's all kinds, all types, different levels of everybody. We're just talking here tonight on how you can have the Holy Ghost take you somewhere deeper.
Amen.
And whenever you get into the part where you summon Him because there's something going on in you that's pretty amazing, and you get to that communion part, and then you get to that supernatural part, there's all kind of healing going on in you. At that level, rejection and sexual abuse and being molested as a child, see, all that stuff, if you don't constrain Him at the fork of the road, you have good experiences and your sexual abuse stuff stays. See, deep calls unto deep. Oh, my God. See, and if you're going to get deep things healed, then you've got to go to deep places in God.
Amen.
And too many people are trying to just go shallow with God and keep all these deep issues healed. And then they go, I don't know what's going on. If you would just go where you're supposed to go in the Lord, you'd never need deliverance.
Right.
You'd never need to get into counseling for 6 years. You'd never have the guilt trip for 5 more years. Just that one little night that you take a break and man, He hits you. How long does it take God to heal you? How long does it take God to heal? How can you ever mend a broken heart? Come on, somebody. You get in the presence.
Amen.
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 Thank you, Lord.
You get in the presence. Do you hear me?
Yes.
Value change. That has to be between you and God. Philippians 3, what?
7.
What's it say? The things that used
to
be those I count lost. If you go deeper in Him, deep issues get taken care of.
Yes.
Automatically.
Yes.
Healed as they went. Just healed as they went. All these people in our churches that are struggling with all these deep issues, it tells you something. At the fork in the road, they're not summoning Him in their private life to get into a deeper place. They're enjoying church services. They're enjoying the choir. They're enjoying so-and-so was at our church. Boy, he played the horn and sang. It was amazing. That's all good if it can take you into a deeper place. Now, there's a place in Christianity where you're a baby. You're an adolescent. And you're just, that's where you are. And we have all the room. But there's a point whenever you thought as a child, you understood as a child, you spoke as a child. But Paul said, when I became a man, I didn't get healed or delivered. I put it away. Because I realized what that was interfering with progress. So whatever God begins to show you or you begin to feel in God, we've got to understand that God wants to use that. That's something you're not making yourself feel. So he's saying what? Constrain me. Next verse, Isaiah 55, quickly. Isaiah 55, verse number 6. Seek ye the Lord, listen to this, while he may be found. Call on him while he's near. Ah.
Amen.
Here is visitation made easy.
Yes.
What's that mean? Look at me. Sometimes the Lord is closer to you than others. Nobody here, all of us here tonight, if you were to tell the truth, there's moments where he's just, it's whether it's a day, an hour, a moment, a season. Pastor, I'll tell you, for about the past 3 days, I mean, it's just been, Pastor, I'm telling you, there was a moment in my kitchen, I mean, it was only 15 minutes, I could have swore it was 3 days. There are times whenever God is going to be closer to you than other times. What's the prophet saying? When he's that close, call on him. That's the time you scream and say, hey, Lord. When there's what? When you sense any kind of manifestation. You hear something. You feel something. You kind of see something. You heard the Lord. Somebody gave you a prophecy at the mall, and you just, oh, my God. And you just, all of a sudden, you don't even know why, Pastor. I had to pull the car over. I just got weepy. You know, whatever, whatever, whatever. That means he's close.
Yes.
That's a close moment. That means call on the Lord while he's near. I remember when I was growing up with the ice cream truck come through the neighborhood. Remember, anybody have those? Ding a ling a ling a ling a ling a ling a ling a ling. You know, it was ice cream coming to your house. Come on, somebody. And when we heard that truck, we knew we only had so much time to run home. Man, the ice cream truck. And then it took her 10 minutes or maybe longer to get some money out of her purse. You know, here, boy, here, go get some ice cream. And running, and you're, where's he at? And you kind of find the truck. And he's up on George Street. No, he's on Jack Street. He's on Lynn Street. Is he coming back this way? And hey! All the time, there's ice cream. Or at the store down the road. But see, to get to the truck part of it with all the music and get the ice cream Mike or ice cream Joe, whoever he was, it was the experience.
Yes.
The truck stops. He gets out. He's dressed in white. He says, what do you want? And it was like, wow, ice cream on the street. I mean, in my day, that was like, he opens up that freezer. What do you want? And he pulls out an Eskimo bar. Wow. I mean, the thrill of getting something on the street. There'd be 5 or 6 of us around the truck and handing him all the money. We made it. See, we made it. We got into the presence while it was near. And there were times where we missed the truck. Those weren't good nights. But see, some of you are not maximizing, you're not redeeming the time. You should leave here with some of the songs we sing coming out of your mouth. You should leave here rehearsing some of the miracles that you saw or some of the things that, you know, you should be saying to each other. You rehearse movies, you see. You rehearse dinner shows, you see. What you rehearse will be your reality. What you rehearse, not where you've been, what you rehearse will be more real to you than the house you live in. What you rehearse will be more real to you than your age.
Amen.
Or your expected energy level or health issues. Or what you rehearse becomes your spiritual house. Your habits determine your habitation. Call on the Lord while he's near. Revelation 3:20. I know you know the verse, but we're gonna break the myth around this verse and give you the true meaning of it tonight. Let's read it together. Come on, this most famous verse. Here we go. Behold,
I stand at the door and knock.
If any man
hear my voice and open the door, I will come in and will sup with him.
Now, he's speaking to Christians here. This is Revelation 3. He's speaking to the church of Laodicea. So this is not a verse that is to the unsaved. This is a verse to believers. Now, that's not the point that I want to reveal to you tonight, though. Here's the part I want to reveal to you tonight. Behold, I stand. Let's do it like this. Behold, I stand at the door of Christians, and I'm knocking. That word knocking is amazing. Because that word knocking is his manifested. In other words, whenever he moves on you and you're crying, whenever he moves on you and you're shaking, whenever he moves on you and, you know, and you're having some awesome experience, that's the knocking of the Holy Ghost. And he's trying to get into you, to get you into a deeper place.
Hallelujah.
He's not just trying to give you an experience. No, when you go skiing, that's an experience. When you go surfing, that's an experience. He's not after giving you an experience. He's after giving you a whole new way of living. He wants you to know that there's way more than what you are walking in. So he said, I'm knocking. Ask, seek, knock. In other words, it's getting more demonstrative. You ask, that's one thing. You seek, that's more progressive, more aggressive. Then you get into what? Knocking. If I'm seeking, I'm seeking. If I'm asking, I'm asking. But if I'm knocking, I'm demanding entrance. I'm demanding, let me in. I'm not saying let me out. I'm not saying I don't want none. I'm saying, hey, open up. Open up. See, and he's saying what he's saying. By him knocking, whenever you get slain, he's knocking. Whenever you're shaking, he's knocking. See, the thing we don't recognize is, when is the anointing on you? We know the anointing on this preacher. We know the anointing on the singers. But every service you're in, every service, there's an anointing on the corporate body. But we don't recognize that anointing. So we don't even know when the anointing's on us, because we're too busy watching the anointing on him. John said, I fell down as though I was dead. The anointing was on him. It means it took his strength out of him. He had no strength. But when you feel your strength leaving you in a meeting, the anointing's on you. The woman with the issue said she was trembling. She was just trembling. It was the anointing all over her. The woman came to the Simon, the Pharisee's house, and I mean, where do you see this? She falls on the ground crying, wiping her hair on his feet. And I mean, we would take people out of the service for doing that. She was having an emotional release because the anointing was on her. We've all got to learn to recognize how the anointing, when it's on you. Because that's God giving you the goods. Yeah. To just begin to recognize, I'm doing something in you. He puts that anointing on you, how it affects you. And then he's waiting for you to cry for more. Because you're going to come to a fork in the road. Service is going to be over. You're going to go out and get in your car and wipe your eyes. Well, I'll tell you what, and watch this. Well, I'll tell you what, if it gets any stronger, I don't know what I'm going to do. I mean, you know, you hungry? Where do you want to go eat? And food. And movies after services. And it may not be every service, but you have to recognize, man, whew. But some people go home from meetings and just as if they weren't even in the anointing. They're on the phone talking negative. They're on the computer doing whatever they do. It's back to life as normal. Yeah. The reason you had that meeting, the reason he took you into a service was to knock you out of normal.
Yes. Amen. Amen.
All today, people, a lot of people want is a good word and a good service. But leave my life alone. He wants to help you, though. Our job is to what? Just recognize it. Does that make sense?
Yes.
Say, along the way.
Along the way.
Come on, say, my heart was burning.
My heart was burning.
Along the way.
Along the way.
See, the neat thing about this is just as you're en route. It may not, I'm emphasizing a lot services, but it sure don't have to be. It sure don't have to be. Wisdom's everywhere today. The anointing is everywhere today.
Amen.
Like you're liable to run into somebody somewhere, and you know, I mean, God can jump on anything. He can quicken. He can quicken billboards. He can quicken. He can quicken Mocha Java with two pumps of hazelnut. Man, he can. He can say, man, my word is sweeter than a honeycomb. You know, he can quicken anything anywhere, and that's what he's doing in this hour. Why? Because the churches are moving along too methodically slow with their own agenda. So God's starting to break outside the walls of the church because there's so many people he wants to get raised up and have experiences and get filled and anointed. And everybody can't be prayed for inside the four walls of the church and healed and saved and delivered.
Hallelujah.
But boy, when that heart, when that army begins to march on the outside, but it's more than just, I want to go save people. I want to go heal people. It's, man, I'm in the presence.
Yes.
And then everything you do is just what? Him through you instead of you out there just trying to work it all up.
Praise you, Lord.
I'm standing at the door knocking. That knocking is his presence pounding on you. Here's the key now. What happens? Because I'm not even going to ask you, because I know he's pounding on you. My question to you is, do you let that interrupt you as they left it interrupt their journey? They didn't. It's never the right time. You never have enough food. He's not going to come and be a convenient Christ. He don't like convenient healings, convenient deliverances. He don't like he don't like fitting into your schedule. He's tired of it. Years ago, true story, I had a lady call me. Listen, true story. Called the office. I don't know what office I was in. I was in an office somewhere. She said, "Do you mind if I come by for some deliverance?" Well, in those days, you know, I mean, I was so ready for a fight with any demon anywhere. In those days, I was have demon fighter will travel, you know. And I said, "Well, ma'am," I said, "you know what? I wasn't planning on, you know, really being here all day." I said, "When was you going to stop by?" She said, "I have to drop my son off at school at 9:30, and I have a beauty hair appointment at 11:30. So I thought if I drop him off at 9:30, I can be at your place by 10, get the demon out, and be at my hair appointment by 11:30. True story. Yeah, but don't have me prophesy over you tonight now. Come on. But that's maybe today a lot of people aren't that graphic or that descriptive, but they're saying the same thing. I need to get healed in this time slot. I need to get my burdens lifted in this time slot. I got so much going on over here. I can't get interfere with this. This is the Holy Grail. My mother's coming in for 2 weeks. My sister's coming from Georgia. This is the Holy Grail. So I've got to get healed. So we have this convenient approach to get healed on our time. Right. And that's why we're not getting healed.
That's true.
His will, his way, yes. On his time.
Absolutely.
Ah! Come on! We mess around out there all week long, but we're going Saturday night to get the healing. We mess around out there, you know, then we get emails, we get phone calls. We're coming in, we're expecting. And I'm thinking, I wonder what they're expecting the week before they come here. Is all their expectation geared at a meeting? So what happens is you become an easy target for the devil. So the devil says, that guy's easy. He's a one day a week expectation guy. Screw up his Saturday nights, it's easy. Just mess up his Saturday, because he ain't got expectation going 7 days a week. He's not looking for nothing on Wednesday or Thursday. He's not looking for anything. He's not looking for any money on Tuesday. He's not looking for any prophetic words. We know that till. But boy, whenever you switch that and you go off the path and you constrain him, then you open yourself up for supernatural all the time. And the supernatural becomes almost natural. You don't let it become common, but naturally supernatural things happen. It doesn't become like, oh, you have to work it all up. It just becomes part of your life. You're always impressed. You're always grateful and thankful for all that happens. But it's no longer, oh, my God, oh, my God. It's like, he's so amazing. Oh, he's so amazing. Last verse, here we go. Last verse is probably the toughest verse of the whole night, so get ready. Get ready, get your spinach on, because you're going to need it right here. Romans chapter 6, verse number 13. Neither, yield ye your members. Your members is your eyes, your ears, your mouth. Your five senses are your members, your sexual organs, as your members. Neither yield ye your members as instruments of unrighteousness unto sin, but yield yourselves unto God. And as those that are alive from the dead, and your members as instruments. Come on, say, my eyes are an instrument. My ears are an instrument. My hands are an instrument of righteousness. Now, the key word here, get ready for this. I know this is going to be hard for tonight, but just listen here. Yield. Yield. The easiest and yet the hardest thing to do, hardest and easiest, is to yield. The only way you're going to ever eat any more food the rest of your life is if you yield to the food. You give way. Some of you have been in a place where you've been absolutely, you didn't want to eat anything else. You weren't even that hungry. But someone said, come on, just get a cup of coffee. Just come and talk. Just get a cup of coffee. And you just didn't want to. You really had to get home. And come on, can you just, I hate to go home. It's, I'm home alone. Can you just come? Can you give me half an hour? You didn't really want to do it, but you yielded. You have the power in this room tonight to yield to the knocking. Most of the supernatural things I've seen, even though I've seen it, I had to yield. There was a yielding to it. And most of the supernatural things I've seen or heard came at a time whenever it was like disruptive. I'm not talking about in a meeting. I'm talking about alone, privately, alone somewhere. If you can't be alone with God and know Him, you don't have much. If you're living off of the Jesus in your wife, if you're living off of the Jesus in your church, that's called vicarious Christianity. Now, it's better than no Jesus. Don't we know that?
Yes.
Yeah. But there's so many people that need outside stuff. The depth of your connection with Him is based upon you and Him and nobody. Now, when you come together, man, it's corporate. Hallelujah, Right?
Right.
It's kind of like that guy that lives up way back up in the Colorado Rockies in a log cabin, with a dog. And he's just a mountain man. But once a month, he comes down into the town to get supplies. And they all know him. And he gets along with everybody. But he don't need them to make it. He's up here in his ecosystem. You have the power to yield. And when you yield, whether you're yielding to food or you're yielding to go somewhere that you didn't want to go, but you yielded. When you're yielding into a traffic lane, it says yield. That means you can keep going, but you got to what? Watch out for the cars that are coming. You got to yield into the traffic flow. When you go into the ocean to body surf, you're yielding to the water. Now, in your mind, I'm getting in the water. You're yielding to it. You are not a fish. You're not liquid. You're a body. So you are yielding to a foreign substance. When you drink coffee, you're yielding to caffeine. When you flick the remote control, you're yielding to that programming. It's yielding. You're giving your members over, giving your eyes over. When somebody's chewing on you and you're talking about whatever they're talking about, and it's not good to listen to that, but you're yielding to that. There's something maybe your flesh likes to hear out of that. You're yielding your member. Yielding is what makes all this work. Yielding is the trigger. Yielding is what is the hinge on the door. Because here's what I want to promise you tonight. You are having already tangible visitations. You're already having them, every one of you. But the question is, are we yielding? He wants more than you want to give.
Amen.
He knows you're busy. Trust me, he knows your schedule better than you do. But there's more money off the main highway than on the main highway. Along the way. There's more divine appointments is coming your way, but you have to recognize, otherwise you're taking Bible principles and moving in the natural and pounding on in the natural all your life. Sometimes it looks like you're getting ahead in the natural, then your house comes falling down like a house of cards somewhere down the line because he didn't build it, you did. We will see great churches continue to crumble. We will see that. Built on principle, built on this law and that law, and built on this carbon copy. There are people in churches all over this country that is not ready for the coming storm. Now, not because that's not a bad thing against the church. It comes down to you. I'm only responsible to you for so far. All I can do is give you everything I got. Preach, pray, prophesy, warn, scare, scream. Ah! I can do all that. Keep you to 11, 12, 1 in the morning. I mean, I can do all I can do. But then, see, it's you. You got to go out there and locate the burning heart.
Yes.
And say, man, something happened in me, Pastor. This isn't normal. Hey, man, run with it. Run with it. Hope it keeps you up all night. Hope you can't sleep for a year. Come on, somebody, you know. Yielding. Yielding. Yielding.
For more information about this and other teachings by Pastor Billy, please call 1-888, the number 7, and the word healed. Or in the Tampa area, call 813-287-2116. The mailing address is Billy Burke, World Outreach Ministries, P.O. Box 25441, Tampa, Florida 33622. That's Billy Burke, World Outreach Ministries, P.O. Box 25441, Tampa, Florida 33622. Or you can look us up on the web at www.billyburke.org.